Hey, Songtown, welcome. I'm Clay Mills here with Marty Dotson.
What's up?
Today we have seven deadly sins for songwriters. Marty, I'm thinking some of these could actually be dealing with the actual songwriter, and then some of these could be dealing with the craft of songwriting, like what not to do in songs. I think we'll give a mix of both.
I like that. Let's do that, Clay.
Let's start off with gossip.
Oh, okay. You were telling me a story earlier about this.
Yes. So the music world is a very small world. If you're in Songtown, it's a small town, and word gets around.
It does.
So one time I was writing, I was like so excited, had my first song on the radio. I go in to write with this new person I've never written with before. And they come in and they're like, can you believe that new song out? That blah, blah, blah song. He's like, I can't believe that that artist recorded that song and was trashing the song. And it was a song that I had written. And so that taught me you got to be careful, because that writer felt so bad when, and I didn't say anything, but he called me later. He's like, man, I didn't know you wrote that song. So be careful. I'm sure you've had experiences like that.
Yeah, too. I've seen that happen. I've been in the room when someone was trashing a song and I'm like, no, don't go there, because it was the other person in the room. Yeah. But yeah, you just don't want to do that. I mean, I think that's just a habit you need to get out of. If that's kind of your MO, like, just, you never know when the person you're talking to could be related to the person you're talking about, or could be at the same publishing company or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So don't gossip. Number two is judging. And this one can be in your songs and in just in
this
general.
This one's biblical.
It is biblical. but, you know, you don't want to, in a song, you don't want to be putting people down or saying that these people are bad, these people are good. You know?
Oh, so you're talking about if you're writing a song, you don't want to be judging people in the song, right? Especially the audience.
Right.
Like, we call that writing a preachy song.
Right.
Like, you're never going to convince someone your point of view by pointing a finger at them and judging them.
Yeah.
You're doing wrong. You shouldn't drink so much. You shouldn't, like, that's never going to change anyone's life.
Right.
And it never makes for a good song being preachy.
And this, by the same token, kind of along what you were saying earlier too, you know, don't go around judging songs. Don't go around judging other people's work, you know. Their work's their work. Your work is your work, you know. So I think just that's another habit to avoid.
I think it was Denzel Washington said one time, you'll never see a critic who's more successful than the person they're criticizing.
Exactly.
It's usually people on YouTube with, you know, itchy fingers that are trashing other, and we see it. We do Club Songtown, where we review songs live for viewers, and somebody will inevitably get on there in the comments, oh, all these songs are crap, all the, you know, like, and my reply is, everyone that I know that is creatively crushing it out there, they don't have time to worry about what someone else is doing.
Right.
You know, and it's just going to, it's going to suck your creative energy out of you to trash someone else. I mean, that's just energy you could use to be creating your own art. You
know? Or make sourdough bread.
Yes,
you know, I mean,
exactly.
You could use that energy for anything else.
Yeah.
What's number three?
It's kind of similar.
Kind of.
Negativity and whining.
Oh.
You know, I've got a story that I put in my Mastering Melody book about friend of mine, Rory Burke. And I went to write with Rory, and first time I ever met him, Hall of Fame songwriter. And he was an older guy at that time, probably late 50s. And I was in my 30s, and I walk in, he has plaques all over the walls, just, you know, hits in five decades. And he was so positive. And the first thing he's like, have you heard this new kid, Te Beato? And I was like, yeah, I wrote with him the other day. And he's like, he's just incredible. You know, he's going to like change country music. And, you know, he was so pumped up about what was going on right now. And we wrote a great song that day. My publisher liked it. Then the next day I wrote with the Negative Nelly guy. He's got a room full of plaques, but he hasn't had any cuts in 20 years. And he was just pissed off about everything. Can you believe that crap that's out today? That's not real music. And so we wrote a song. He was so excited about the song. My publisher didn't care for it. I didn't care for it that much. And I really believe it was because of his negative attitude, you yeah. know? You've got to be open to grow as a writer, you know?
He had walls full of plaques and a heart full of hate.
And those plaques were all dusty because he hadn't had a plaque in a yeah. while.
You know, there was a time I was going through something difficult in life, and there were two or three people that I just had to stop writing with because yeah. they were so negative. You know, I would go over to write with them. I'd be pumped up for the day, and they would start in like, oh, we're getting ripped off by our PRO, you know, or just some thing that they had to whine about and complain about. And by the time I'm done, I'm like dragging myself out of there.
Yeah, you know? It's like, get me out, hit the eject button.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on.
All right, number four, excuses and blame. This one I've heard a bunch of. I mean, in songwriting, pro songwriting circles, there's a certain element of people who are always blaming their publisher. You know, oh, I'm not getting many cuts. My publisher's not pitching my songs right. And, you know, all these reasons why they're not being successful, none of which are about them. You know, and not only does that turn people off of wanting to work with you, it shows everybody that you're not going to take the blame for anything that goes wrong.
Right.
You know, and so it's really important to don't make excuses. You are where you are for a reason. If you want to change that, do things differently. But don't blame your publisher. If your publisher's not doing a good job, go somewhere else.
Well, a lot of our viewers don't even have a publisher. And I can still tell you this. Gosh, I got an email the other day. We won't say who from. Okay. Well-meaning writer. That was just trashing today's music. He wants to be a staff songwriter. He wants to have major artists recording his songs, but he was just trashing everything out there. And basically it's a rigged system and nobody can break in, you know? And I said to him, it's like, oh, the couple of years ago, 2 years ago, I was at ASCAP Awards and 40% of the awards were from new writers. So if 40% of the, I mean, I thought you just said you can't break into the music business. Yeah. That's not true. It's fiction. So, but the basic thing I wanted to get across to this guy, and I think he started to get it by the end of our conversation, was that he was blaming everyone else for his lack of success. Mm-hmm. And the only way you succeed is put your success or your lack of on your own shoulders and take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
The world isn't going to notice you. You have to be so good and you have to be so persistent that you make the world pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, and that it's not going to happen just by sitting around and complaining. Yeah. So I think there's a big lesson, no matter what level. If you're a pro and you're complaining about publishers not pitching your songs, yeah, but to a lot of people in Songtown, that sounds like a rich person's problem, you know? And I understand that. But even on the bottom level, even if you're just starting out and you can't blame, I mean, ultimately, if you want to be happy, it's no one else's responsibility. It's yours,
right.
You know? So it's life advice.
Yeah, and if you're not succeeding, nobody's more interested in you succeeding than you are.
Yeah.
You know? So
I don't wake up every morning trying to figure out how Marty is going to succeed.
That hurts.
But do you wake up every morning figuring out how I'm going to succeed?
Every morning, yes. No, maybe not.
Well, we do work on Songtown together. So in some way, I want to see Marty succeed.
As just much some as way. Not most ways, but some way. You saw it here, people. So number five.
Yes.
Exaggeration.
Yeah.
I've got a great story about this one. A guy came in our office.
Did this really happen or are you exaggerating?
This really happened. So a guy comes in. he's trying to get everyone in our publishing company to write with him. And he walks in like, hey, I'm working with so-and-so producer. He just signed me. And he starts name dropping. And, you know, it sounds like he's got all these amazing things going on. And so I'm the low guy in the totem pole in the publishing company at the time. So they kind of said, hey, why don't you write with him, you know? So I say, well, what about this day? And he says, no, I got Craig Wiseman that day. And I said, what about this day? And he said, oh, Jeffrey Steele, sorry. every date that I threw out, he had some Hall of Fame songwriter booked. Yeah. And, you know, at the time I was young and naive, and I thought, wow, this guy's really, he's writing with a lot of great people, you know. And so I wound up booking a date to write with him way on out. And we get there, and we were writing, and he said, let's put a twist in this song. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, it's like instead of saying somehow, we say how some. And I'm like, say what? And that was indicative of his whole writing. Like,
right.
And he wasn't writing with any of those people that he.
How some he got a writing appointment with
you. I know, yeah, he tricked me by exaggerating. But so I found out he was not working with any of those people. Yeah. He was just telling people that to get rights. And so, you know, it worked to get one co-write, but after that, no more. You know, I'm not going to work with him. So don't name drop. Don't exaggerate. You know, just be who you are and be honest about where you are and who you are.
So it sounds like he's doing number six on our list, lying.
He was.
So what do you hear lying or emotional untruth? Is this more getting back to the songwriting side of things?
I think a lot of it is. Like, you know, I grew up with a dad who was a drug addict. And so when I hear a song about the child of addiction, I can tell generally if it's emotionally true or not.
Right.
You know, and so when I hear a song like that, I go, I want to feel like this person knows.
Yeah.
What it's about, you know, what it's like. And that can also come across just as your presentation as a writer. I didn't grow up like in the country with tailgates and bonfires and all that
you
kind
didn't?
Of stuff. No, I did not.
I did.
Well,
But I never wrote songs about it.
Yeah. But so for me to try to write those kind of songs feels emotionally untrue. I'm guessing at what that would be like in a way. And so I have to be in the room with somebody for whom that's true for it to sound accurate. So, you know, we just want to present ourselves and our songs in a way that's emotionally true and honest.
Sounds good. What's Number the last seven, one on your list?
Seven deadly sins. Opinions as facts. You know, so, and this is in songwriting more, but, you know, when you say something in your song that's just your opinion, like if you said, you know, brown haired people are ugly.
Right.
Well, you're going to offend a lot of brown haired people, you know? And so, you know, making
sure. And you're
sure,
inviting people to disagree with you right off the bat.
Yeah. You know, so you want to be sure that the things you're saying are not just your opinion, but they're facts, you know? And,
Paul Simon had a thing about this, a quote where he said, it's always best when you're writing to start with the truth. Because if you don't, you're going to spend the rest of the time covering up the lies, you know? So it's better just to start from the truth, and I believe it.
You know, an example, I had a Carrie Underwood cut that's talking about what a jerk she was dating at the time and all these horrible things he did to her. So it's from a female perspective, and there was three male writers writing the song. So what we had to do when we were writing the song was talk about things that the women in our lives had told us, you know? So we're like, oh, my wife told me this guy, you know, pawned her guitar, you know? And like, okay, we put that in the song. So, you know, we're drawing on things that we knew were real,
right?
Even though it wasn't our experience, you know.
We've got a whole video that we actually never released on writing for the opposite gender.
Uh-huh.
So, like, that's a good case where you wrote a song where a female artist like Carrie Underwood cut it. If you want to see that video, if that's important to you, we never put it out, but I know we've got it shot. Put in the comments that you want to see it. I'm not sure if it's a topic that appeals to you. But if it does, let us know and we'll put that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other aspect of that and kind of the judging, you know, one of the things that we recommend you not do in your songs is tell people what to do.
Yeah.
Because what that's doing is it's forcing your opinion on them. You know, right. So if I say you should do this or we should all do this in my song, that's my opinion. That's not a fact, you know. So it's better to say, here's how I approach this. You know, yeah. I try to approach this situation with love. Doesn't mean I'm telling you, you need to approach this situation right. with love.
Awesome.
Hope those are helpful. Stay away from the seven deadly sins.
Right on.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.